Hey, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Forest City North Church. We're a church in London, Ontario. And our hope is that this message that you're listening to will have an impact on your life. I encourage you to grab a coffee, make yourself a tea, sit back, and enjoy this message.
So we're in our second week of That Neighbor series, and we could probably all say we have that person in our mind. I know you do. You've got that one person in your mind that's in your neighborhood that is that neighbor. Maybe for you, it's the one that has the truck with the loud exhaust system where they crack it up at like 6 in the morning and they decide to wake up the whole neighborhood. I've had a guy in my neighborhood do that. Maybe it's a neighbor whose kids play in the front yard. They never fight. It's like they're perfect little kids. That's how my brother and I were for my parents. We were perfect. We never fought. What about the neighbor who never seems to cut their lawn? Like, how do they not care about the physical appearance of your house? Maybe you've got that neighbor in your neighborhood, in your community. I have to be honest, I am that neighbor when it comes to where my wife and I live at our apartment for my parking spot. My parking spot, okay? So we'll get there and my parking spot's taken and I'm frustrated and mad and I kind of make people know I'll park a little bit closer to them so they can't get in their car. It's like, that's my spot. And then my wife will like look over at me and she goes, you have to work on this. In an innocent way, she says, we don't even have assigned spots. So like I know, but it's my spot. That's what it is. It's my spot. But it's true. We all have that neighbor. And sometimes it's hard to find out that you're that neighbor. But what if that neighbor wasn't attached with such a sour taste or a bad feeling when you saw that person? What if that neighbor was for all the right reasons? For all the right reasons in your neighborhood, your sports teams, your community. See, our desire and hope for this series is that what we talk about on Sunday mornings will allow you and equip you to start becoming and be that neighborhood in your area of influence. Showing love to people, caring for people, listening to people, having your door open maybe for conversations all the time, caring about the small things. Last week, we looked at an encounter with Jesus in Luke chapter 10, where a guy comes up to Jesus and he goes, "What's the greatest commandment?" And Jesus, in his smart way, he turns it around on him and says, what do you think it is? And he goes, to love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, yeah, that's exactly the greatest commandment that I want you to live out. And we looked at and dove into what it means to love God fully with everything of our being, but also to push that love out to other people. That's a key foundation to the Christian faith. This week, we're going to build on what it means to slow down and learn and look at the life of Jesus. Because to love your neighbor, you need to have your heart leaning on Jesus, growing with Jesus, listening to the stories of Jesus. Because you may know in your own life where you love your neighbor, but then it just becomes difficult. It becomes hard, it becomes tiring, and it's just like you need to have your heart leaning on something else to love that neighbor. So today we're going to look at a story where Jesus comes into interaction with two people, two sisters. And what I want us to do today is try to look at and try to notice the different mindset between these two people. And it comes from Luke chapter 10. Verses 38 to 40. It says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. So here's Jesus with all his buddies. He's walked into this little town called Bethany, and he's walked in with his 12 dudes, his disciples, and Martha actually welcomes him into her home. I looked up the definition of welcomed, and I loved it. It says, to accept the presence of a person with friendliness. If that isn't a good start to becoming that neighbor, I don't know what is. But listen to this story and see the story and start to imagine welcoming Jesus and his 12 disciples into your home, where they're talking, chatting, laughing, talking about the journey, what miracles happened when Jesus was teaching people, and they were real life human beings. Imagine them sitting in your living room, just conversation flowing left, right, and center. And then we get to verse 39, where Martha's sister, we hear that Martha sat at the Lord's feet. I love how it's recorded that she sat at his feet and listened to what he taught. When I read this, I get this image of Martha sitting at his feet and just leaning closer and closer and closer to Jesus, taking on that sitting position, capturing all of his words, listening. In the original text, listening means to listen with the ear of the mind. See, so often when we hear listening, it's like you could probably say this happens in your life where you listen to something, it goes in one ear and out the other. But Martha, she's sitting here listening to Jesus and discerning his words. Discerning his words and allowing them to penetrate her whole being, changing her train of thought, her chain of thought, and her actions. Then we get to verse 40. Where Martha, it says she's distracted. She's distracted with Jesus being in her home and he's got all his buddies there and she's trying to prepare the food and running back and forth, trying to probably keep conversation light and just everything's going around and she's distracted and she can't believe that her sister's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And she's like, I'm breaking my back for Jesus. I've got food to prep. I can see her just walking up to Jesus. And she goes, you know what, Jesus? I'm doing all of these things for you, which they're important. I'm trying to energize you. But the thing is, why is my sister sitting there? And I love how she says, and it's recorded, she tells Jesus, tell her to come and help me. Imagine being Mary. Imagine being Mary there, just sitting at the feet of Jesus, trying to understand and just listen and join into the conversation. And then your sister comes along and says, you should be helping me. I've got better things to do over here. You should be helping me right now. And then Jesus turns around to Martha in verse 41 and 42, and he looks at her and says, but the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Martha has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. I bet she wasn't ready for that answer. Not at all. I know I'd be quite embarrassed if I was Martha, sitting there trying to figure out what is more important, and she's trying to say, you know what, you need to help me. You need to help me. And then Jesus just looks at her and goes, chill out. Just chill out for a second. Hang out with me. You're like, just don't be distracted. I know I would be so embarrassed and I'd be like, fend for yourself if you're telling me to do that. I'd be so embarrassed. See, before we looked at this story of Mary and Martha, I asked you to try to notice two different mindsets of these people. Two different mindsets of these people with Mary and Martha. We have Mary who took her time by sitting at his feet and listening. And we have Martha who was running around, being distracted in this interaction with Jesus. See, when it comes to being that neighbor, I believe many of us actually align with Martha. We align with Martha quite too well. Where we get caught up in the details of life, we get caught up in the schedule, and we live this life distracted like Martha, and we come up with all these excuses like, I've got to take kids to school, I got to take the kids to soccer practice, oh, I've got to work overtime, I don't have time to start doing that, I'm sorry, I'm way too busy, and we become distracted with the noise of life. And this is where we don't allow the time to become that neighbor in our lives. See, in order to grow into that neighbor, we must be intentional with slowing down and to be with Jesus. See, I see this problem in our world right now. And our problem in our world right now is everything is so magically instant and fast. We've got Amazon Prime that delivers the next day or 2 days. We've even got grocery stores now with an app, and you can go online and click, 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 $5 extra. It's at your door when you pull up. Like, what is going on with that? We have Netflix. We have all these things, Facebook, Twitter. We even have the word instant in the root word of Instagram. Everything's so fast. Everything's so quick. And see what happens here, and the problem with this is we feel like we're entitled to the Insta-Jesus. We're entitled to this Insta-Jesus where you may follow, and I know I fall into this category and in this boat, where you may be following all the right apps, all the right people, the pastors, the churches. The Bible app has beautiful scripture readings and graphics, which is amazing. But I find in my own life that maybe you do too, that we fall into this. This is going to help me. This is going to help me remind me that I need to love others. I need to live more missionally. I need to live with more purpose. And we all know what happens. We just keep scrolling. We keep scrolling. The Insta-Jesus is not the way to becoming that neighbor. We need to have the mindset of Mary in the story, with slowing down and sitting and listening and learning. I love the imagery that comes from verse 39 of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. It's such a beautiful image of her laying there, sitting there at his feet, listening to him. Her sitting there was actually showing Jesus and others around her that she was willing to take on a posture of soaking everything in. She didn't want to catch word for word like Martha was in the kitchen. No, she was saying, Jesus, I'm sitting here. I'm learning you, your words, your actions. I'm understanding that I need to slow down myself to become more like you. She took on the posture of a readiness to receive what Jesus had for her. You know what I find interesting about my life when I think of sitting at the feet of Jesus? I so often sit at so many other people's feet. I'm not sitting at the feet of Jesus. I'm sitting at other people's feet. When I was a teenager and young adult, I still am a young adult, but the dream's kind of over. I idolized hockey players. That's why the dream's over, because once you start following guys that are younger than you and they're way better than you, it kind of hurts your heart. But yeah, I would idolize these guys. I knew where they were drafted, how many goals they had in their rookie year, where they lived in the off season, what happened on the YouTube specials behind the scenes. I knew everything. I bought the sticks, the skates, I skated like them, I tried shooting like them. I became them, and I had never even met them. Never met them. Maybe many of us fall into that boat, where we sit at the feet of other people. Maybe you're sitting at the feet of celebrities, or maybe sitting at the feet of actors, and maybe parents even. Or maybe you're sitting at the feet of friends that seem to have it all. And you start buying the products, start talking like them, listening to them, watching their every move, and you start becoming just like them. See, when I think of sitting at other people's feet, and then I think of being that neighbor, I don't know how those two align up. Now, don't get me wrong, I understand having people you look up to is healthy. But when we allow those things, some unhealthy things shape the way we move and live, that doesn't align up with that neighbor. I don't believe that it can help us becoming that neighbor. To become that neighbor, we need to be learning Jesus, not the Insta-Jesus. Learning, praying, creating quiet time, carving out those moments to say, I'm sitting at your feet. Michael Frost, in his book, Surprise the World, he says some amazing things in the book. He says, we need more than ever to know what Jesus would do or say in circumstances. And we can't know that without a deep and ongoing study of the biographies of Jesus, written by those who knew him best. He goes on to say in his book, learning Jesus helps us understand Jesus better and provides the tools for appropriating his examples into our lives. I love those words. We need it more than ever to know what Jesus would do or say in life. I believe there's a lot of ways to learn Jesus. I really do. But one of the things that Michael Frost says is learn the biographies, read the biographies. Now, when he's saying the biographies, he means the Gospels in the Bible. And if you don't know what the Gospel is, it's the definition that means good news. And the Gospels are the biographies of Jesus' life, where his best friends wrote stories of miracles and teachings and words and actions that he did in his life. And I believe this is actually the number one way to learn the life of Jesus. The words of Jesus, the actions of Jesus through this. And I suggest go start reading the book of Mark. It's a beautiful illustration of how he walked and talked in this world. But here's the thing. Reading the Gospels, I strongly believe you don't just pick up the book, read a couple chapters or a couple verses, and put it down. That's the insta-Jesus. That's what I've kind of defined it as, the quick insta-Jesus. What we need to be doing is actually slowing down and asking the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to penetrate our hearts and mind in these moments, reading these words of Jesus, reading the life of Jesus. Because I believe with all of my heart, when you ask this and you prepare yourself like this, this is when the Holy Spirit will start moving inside of your heart. Moving inside of your actions, and then becoming that neighbor will start to just flow out of you. The life of Jesus will be able to just flow out of you. When I was 13 or 14 years old, I shot 10,000 hockey pucks in my parents' driveway. You're right, 10,000 hockey pucks means not a lot of homework was going down, which was perfect for me. I shot 10,000 hockey pucks in my parents' driveway. I would strap on my rollerblades, I'd grab my stick. My dad would grab his stick and all the pucks. I think we had like 70 pucks. And he'd put the plexiglass on the driveway, and I would skate around in circles, and I would shoot shot after shot after shot. And he would count and count, and his garage door would just get destroyed and destroyed and destroyed. And I still have to pay for that. And... But no, this is where I became the player the coaches want me to be, where my dad wanted me to be. This is where I learned the muscle memory of when to let a good shot go or when a bad shot was. And I decided to start shooting like my idols that I sat at their feet. So I'm like, I got to shoot like them. And then I would put it into the game after practicing. So much, the 10,000 shots can actually happen with learning the life of Jesus. Learning the life of Jesus can actually be the exact same of practicing your shot. It's going to take the time of reading, studying, listening to the life of Jesus, looking at his actions, slowing down and seeing what he has for your life. It's going to take to ask the Spirit to work. It's going to take the time to ask the Spirit to move inside of you. And the Gospels will show you the life of Jesus, and the internal transformation that it has inside of your heart will push you to want to even be that neighbor. I believe another essential way of learning the life of Jesus is surrounding yourself with like-minded people. Surrounding yourself with people that want to start walking like Jesus did. When you guys can start talking and you can start having dinner together and asking questions of each other of why was Jesus' life so different? You could even read the Gospels together and say, what is going on with this life of Jesus and how can we put it into practice in our lives? How can we show the love? How can we show the care and the respect for others and put it into our lives? When you surround yourself with like-minded people, you start to rub off on people. You know that. The people that you hang out with rub off on you, and you rub off on them, and all of a sudden you start hearing stories of each other where Tom's had a conversation with Carol down the street where it was just a weird conversation that usually doesn't happen, but it's good. And then that fires you up to say, you know what, I'm going to try to live a little bit more different like Jesus did. And you start encouraging each other. Surrounding yourself with like-minded people can encourage each other. You get a group text and you start encouraging each other in the morning saying, you know what, just live a little bit different. Love a little bit more today. Live a little bit more like Jesus today. And once you surround yourself with that, you can see Jesus working in others, and then that fires you up to live the life of that neighbor. There's such a beautiful piece of surrounding yourself with like-minded people. I believe here at church is a great example. Forest City North is a great example, and churches all over the city are a great example of like-minded people coming together. And I love this space because this space is a safe place to come and explore the Christian faith, like-minded people come and explore together. But it also has the bonus factor of where we come and grow together. We grow together in the understanding of what Jesus has for us and wants from us. To be that neighbor, to love that neighbor, to love that person in your barber shop, your sports team, and it's such a bonus that we get to come together and explore and grow in the life of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that we can't become that neighbor without becoming a lot more like Jesus, a little more like Jesus. See, the more we take the posture on like Mary, sitting and listening to what Jesus had taught and lived out, I believe the more we will have to give to others, the more we will have to listen to others, the more we will have to love others unconditionally. This moment in Jesus' life with the interaction with Mary and Martha has two distinct different mindsets. Mary, with listening, sitting and listening and discerning Jesus' words. And then we have Martha with being distracted. Today I want to ask you, which one describes you? Which one do you line up with? Are you Mary where you have a great practice of sitting there and learning his life and understanding what his life is about? Or are you Martha where you allow the distractions and the excuses to build up and the life to just start tumbleweeding together and you just have no time to stop and slow down? An action point for us this morning could really be like, I'm going to take 10 minutes this week. Just 10 minutes once this week to sit and read the life of Jesus. I think that's a beautiful way that we can walk into this next week and just try something new if it's new for you. To see what the Spirit will move inside of you and teach you about the life of Jesus and how you can apply that to your life. So I ask you today, are you going to commit to slow down and sit at the feet of Jesus? Listen to the song. Please stand with me. There's something about slowing down. Slowing down will actually help us turn up the voice of Jesus. I really feel like that is a piece that we need to be reminded of. Is slowing down will allow us to hear the voice stronger and louder in our lives. And last thing, don't forget our cards. We've got 5 cards bundled up for you. I challenge you. It's going to be an awesome Sunday morning on July 1 where we can just celebrate this country and an awesome place that we live in and invite 5 people. I challenge you to do that and have fun with it. Will you pray with me? Father God, we just want to say thank you for your son. Your son was that neighbor that lived a life that we should all shape our thoughts and our words and our heart around. And God, the life of Jesus was so impactful. God, I just pray all of us here this morning have a chance this week to just slow down and listen and sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary did. God, I just pray for this next week that whatever we're dealing with, that we can just go in with a full heart and a full mind, whether it's good or bad, just with a clear mind and allow your Spirit to just work inside of us. This is all in your Son's name. Amen. Have a great week. Thanks for coming.